Hey everybody, before we get started, I wanted to quickly talk about the Two Pods a Day campaign that we are participating in for the month of October. If you are not familiar, Two Pods a Day is a social media campaign that helps introduce people to independent podcasters around the country, around the world, really, because we've had a couple of international ones that we've been listening to, and they do a great job. They really they allow you to explore your interests, hopefully find new podcasts that you would otherwise not have found on your own. They ran a campaign last month and got 60 independent podcasters out there. It's a great thing. We are happy to be a part of it. We are happy to find new independent podcasts and review them and listen to them. And we've gotten hooked on a couple over the past couple of weeks. So do yourselves a favor. Check them out on all of the social media. Number Two Pods a Day. Be on the lookout. We will be featured there in the month of October at some point. The other thing, I just wanted to get another quick promo in here. We have Adam on this week. Adam, you remember from our Uncle Cracker episode, and his group, njracket.com, promotes a bunch of New Jersey, independent Jersey bands, and they have a festival coming up on Saturday the 23rd, which is this coming Saturday, starting at 11 o'clock. It's an all-day affair. They've got a ton of independent bands, craft brewers out there. They've got food trucks, everything in Jersey City. So if you want to support some independent bands as well as independent podcasts, get out there, look them up online, njracket.com, or find them on Facebook or Twitter. And in the meantime, why don't you listen to Adam and us talk about Dr. Dexter Holland?
Today we are going to be discussing the worst Beatles song that the Offspring ever wrote. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Decomposition, where we hyperanalyze all your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
You're great. You've read up on your lyrics. You're ready to analyze.
I'm barely prepared at all.
Barely prepared at all. Nice. That is a strong start to an episode right there. That's what
we like to hear.
That's what we like to hear. Absolutely. Joining us, once again, you guys remember him from sitting in on our Uncle Cracker episode, co-founder of NJ Racket, Adam. Adam, welcome back. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me back.
We're here, obviously, so that you can promote this this big event you have coming up in Jersey City.
Yep.
Sorry.
We got it's the second annual North Jersey Indie Rock Festival. It's a mouthful title. We got 5 record labels local to New Jersey. We have 24 bands that are going to be playing. So,
and what's the date?
It's at Cathedral Hall on Montgomery Street in Jersey City on September 23rd.
Awesome. I'm going to ask you to repeat that again later.
What's the time?
I'll remember it. Ooh. I believe it starts at 11 a.m. and it'll go.
Oh damn! So this is like
all goddamn day. Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So
we got different kind of craft vendors, food, beer. Gonna be a good time.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah,
excellent.
Wait. I thought we were also here to crush Adam's childhood.
Well, because that's he loves in part. In part, like last time we were all on the same page with regards to Cracker. Whereas we all obviously love that song, right?
Love every single. One
I forget.
Of us.
I forget how the episode went, but I'm sure we all love that song.
I think all three of us agreed it was the best.
But this time, so we struggled to get a song for you, Adam, because
at first you asked me to do Korn, and I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I wouldn't betray 12-year-old me.
We just put out that episode too, and we like.
And I wasn't gonna out you, Adam.
Wouldn't do it. No, I'll go on the record on that one.
But in the Korn episode, I said a previous guest of ours, and I won't name
Who will
him.
Rename,
Clearly,
remain
Adam
nameless.
Didn't even listen to the Korn episode. It was too painful.
I wouldn't
for
do
him.
It. No, exactly.
He's not here.
I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, I was
not interested in this one. They're wrong.
Like, skip.
We tried
People
to do
tune
this
in next
song.
Week.
We tried to do the song with a previous guest, and he refused because he loves Korn too much. Then I brought up the Offspring to you, and you were like, I don't know about that.
Until you told me which song, and I was like, all right, yeah, I can't. I'll give you this one. This okay. is a bad one.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
Yeah, it is, like, objectively dumb. It is an objectively dumb song that I'm not necessarily turning off my radio. So,
oh, that's tough. I have to think about that. I'm not ready to answer that question yet.
So the song in question here is, of course, the 1999 hit song off of the third Offspring album, Americana, Why Don't You Get a Job? The song went to number 4 on Billboard Alternative Songs, number 10 on Mainstream Rock, number 21 on Mainstream Top 40. The album has been certified 5 times platinum and peaked at number 2 on the Billboard 200.
Because most of that album's pretty good.
That is the album with Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Okay, that's so again, those good. Are the two songs that are bad, but like most of that album was pretty good.
That song was so gigantic. Like, that was Offspring's like return to the mainstream. Whoa, your hands just went up in shock.
The Kids Aren't All Right is on the same album yeah. as yeah, this
that
song.
Was, that was a good song.
Get Out of My Life. I definitely
that's
thought
probably
that was,
my favorite Offspring song.
I thought that was
song.
On Smash. I thought that was on the 1994 yeah. album that I love so
yeah,
much.
Smash was amazing. A little bit of, on the yeah. last time I was on, you asked me what the first record I ever owned was, yeah. and it was Third Eye Blind.
Right.
Literally like the second or third in the top 5 albums I first owned was Smash, and that's where my Offspring love started.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But they put out Smash, gigantic hit song, had what did it have? Self-esteem, Keep 'Em Separated.
Gigantic hit album. Yeah.
Bad Habit. I don't know that one. Road Rage song?
Okay. Oh, where that was my favorite because as like a 13-year-old girl,
screaming stupid dumb shit goddamn motherfucker was like yes! the highlight of your day. Yeah, exactly.
So, last week, Teresa was our guest, and we were talking about Taylor Swift's love story, and Teresa, all she could talk about was like, when I was a little girl, I would have loved this song, so I just want to hear a happy ending. Well, I just realized when I was a little girl, all I wanted to do was listen to Bad Habit and yeah. scream all the bad words in
was
it.
Was that a single? I don't remember that song. Yes. I never owned the album.
I don't know
that
yes. was a single.
You definitely have to know that song.
Was this the album also with like Heaven Is So Far Away on it?
Keep 'Em Separated, Genocide.
No, Gone Away, you mean? Was
Is that what that song is
called? That was a
different
song, yeah.
Gone Away is on
what is the song?
That was like
and
their
it feels,
other,
like, feels
other,
like
yeah,
Heaven
yeah,
is
yeah,
So
gone
Far
away.
Away.
Like Gone Away's on their 97 album. I did have to pull
Ixnay
up their
on the Ombre?
Discography, yeah.
That album did not perform commercially as well as Smash did, so then they put out this album, Americana, and then, of course, Pretty Fly for a White Guy came out, and exploded. That song was such a novelty,
yeah,
ridiculous novelty animal. Like, what you what?
Well, I just think that's the problem with it. I think their follow-up album to Smash didn't do that well, and so they put out an album that has these like kind of commercial,
right?
Candy
it
sort
was
the, of
it was
songs kind of
like their
it.
Punk sellout album,
yeah,
well,
totally sellout.
Where- So
that was when they cashed in their punk cred for like a giant ass check. And
well, yeah. Here's what happened. Dexter Holland was giving an interview in 1998, which was the year before the song came out, talking about recording the album. And he said, quote, I want to write a record that wasn't a radical departure from what we'd done before. He basically just like wanted to stick to like the same kind of just like, I don't know, what's the like kind of pop punk
yeah.
stuff that... Yeah.
Mid-late 90s pop punk. Yeah.
Sure.
I think it is a radical departure from what they've done before, though. At least this song and Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Yeah, really. Like, the only two songs that...
Like, they were on
that
the
blew
same...
up from the album were the only two that didn't
now, three.
Fit their...
Kids Are All Right were all...
No, but that was like, their old style. That
oh,
was
yeah.
still, like, you know...
Yeah, so
that
they,
was an Offspring song.
Like, they used to be on the same record label, I want to say, as, like NoFX, mm-hmm. and, like, it was Epitaph Records, and I forget what other
because it was, like, that
there,
early
like,
90s LA punk. That
yeah,
was
right. absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
so
that,
just,
like, skate punk kind of...
Yeah. They were, like, a little more surfy than...
Yeah.
But I guess that all kind of falls under the same umbrella, doesn't it?
And just jumping off of what Adam said, The Kids Aren't All Right is an Offspring song, and... Why Don't You Get a Job is like a Blink-182 song.
No,
oh,
not
no,
even.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
That's like a Simple Plan song or like a Phoenix TX song.
I don't know who Phoenix TX is.
I don't even know what kind of song it is. It's just like...
It was like any one of the myriad punk bands in my high school song is kind of what it was. But written by a 35-year-old man.
It's like
a Bowling
for Soup song. Like it's, well, I'm only thinking of like 1985. Like it's just, it's a joke. Like it's just supposed to be a laugh
pure
off.
Pure novelty.
Like,
pure novelty
song. It's over 90 seconds and you're supposed to move on with life.
Yeah. I would
but
argue
here we
that
are
that's
in 2017.
A lot of Blink-182 songs as well.
Yeah, I mean, look
we're
at
listening
like
to a different Blink-182.
Well, you're not listening to a Rock Show or First Date or any of those.
Uh-oh,
like
I guess
Cheshire
Adam's
Cat.
A Blink-182 fan as
not,
well.
I mean, eh.
I like plenty of Blink-182.
I go in and out with them.
Wrong. Mm-hmm. What's the Spiders? What's that one?
That's yeah, that was a bad one too.
I'm
I miss
so
you.
Sorry. Yeah.
If you want to have me back for that one, I'm in.
Like
the only problem with that song is Tom DeLonge's part.
Well, yeah, that's
see, that's
it's
the
like
thing. The Mark Hoppus stuff is
good. It's an epically bad verse, though. It's like
Spiders. I could just yell that all day. Forget your bad habits. I just want to yell spiders all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll put it in the dictionary with sonnets.
Sonnets, spiders.
Wait, so this song has words.
That's my line.
That's
you're
my
stealing,
line.
You're
you
stealing
stole
my
it
line.
Week.
You stole it back from me when it was obviously mine. Yeah.
I agree to disagree.
Possession is 9/10 of the law, Katie. I'm just going to read it because I don't feel like assigning responsibilities to people. I won't pay ya. No way. Nah, why don't you get a job? Say no way, ya. No way, Nah, why don't you get a job? So, big controversy about this song. People say it blatantly ripped off Obladi Oblada by the Beatles. So,
not in the way of being a good song, it didn't.
It ripped off poorly. I guess, you know, like people for years like claimed that Oasis were ripping off the Beatles an awful lot, but they just made better songs out of their Beatles ripoffs, I guess. Like
only in being English and talented.
Yeah. And super drunk all the time.
Yeah.
See, I guess you just need two frontmen that like fight all the time. You have the Lennon McCartney and you have the Gallaghers. This is just Dexter Holland and company.
Holland and Noodles isn't really having the
noodles.
Same.
dude's like got to be in his late 40s now, still goes by Noodles. And that's amazing to me. That's amazing. Guitar players.
From Offspring?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be?
No, from the Beatles.
No.
George Harrison.
Also goes by Noodles.
A.K.A. Noodles.
George Harrison.
Nudes Harrison. Yeah.
This song came out almost 20 years ago, and they were in their mid-30s, Brad.
Yeah. So oh my God. So he's like
in his mid-50s, and he's still Noodles.
That is gross.
They're almost my parents' age. Is that weird?
Is that weird? No, because time works like that. The Noodles thing is weirder than their age. So, only one in the band with a nickname, by the way. I forget what his real name is. But
maybe that's one of the things that Adam would prefer when it comes to Korn over the Offspring. Korn has a lot more like weird nicknames.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
monkey
head. Yeah,
Fieldy.
Yeah,
and his side project Fieldy's Dreams. Adam, you
Jonathan
need to go back and
Jonathan
listen.
Jonathan Davis
to that.
Got his own name though. He kept his name. When you're the front man, you get
Dickhead.
To keep your real name.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So did the drummer, whose name was Dave?
I think it was Dave, yeah.
I don't know.
So the Offspring only has one oddly nicknamed member.
Yeah, just Nudes.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess Dexter isn't his real name. His real name is like Kevin or something like that, but he goes by Dexter. Yeah. So
I guess Dexter's a cooler name.
Cooler sounding? Very skate punk? 90s skate punk? I don't know.
Maybe.
Anybody?
Maybe. Yeah.
Nothing. So do you have anything to say about this chorus, Katie, or do you think it's just pretty like straightforward to the point?
I think it does a fine job of telling us exactly what the main idea of the song is.
And if you miss it the first time, there's plenty of chance to catch it in the refrain.
They will say it so many times.
Do you think it is ripping off the hook from Obladi Oblada?
I think it sounds pretty damn close.
Yeah.
What do you think, Adam?
I honestly, I never would have put that together myself, but probably just because Obla Di Obla Da is like a real song, and this is just like this is just like a steaming hot pile of bullshit. So like
fake song.
Yeah.
Your fake songs, Offspring. Your fake songs.
Oh dear.
I think it's probably not intentionally a ripoff of Obla Di Obla Da.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so close.
Yeah, it's close. The arpeggiated one syllable words that are repeated versus nonsense Obla Di Obla Da. But like, yeah, I mean, that's
the melody is
A pretty
very close.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it intentional? I couldn't tell you.
Maybe he had just been listening to a lot of Beatles.
Well, before I'll tell
sitting
you,
down to write the music for this song.
So here's my favorite quote that I found when researching this. This is from some nobody, some guy named Adam Hunter, who was a 19-year-old Towson student when this came out. I found this on like an article for MTV.
Okay, so this is not from an expert of any kind.
This is just
from some guy.
just some douchebag in Towson, Maryland.
Somebody else who could be sitting around this kitchen table right now.
any of our Baltimore friends who are listening, if you could find out if Adam Hunter is still floating around the area. And see,
if Adam Hunter was 19 when this song came out and went to
Towson.
He's
about our age. He's a couple years older than we are.
A friend of ours from Maryland may know him. So Maryland friend, Smaltimore, pay attention.
Anyway, he is quoted as saying to MTV News, "All I can say is Offspring is better than the Beatles and could kick their asses any day."
All right.
Kick their asses maybe. Yeah.
It's like,
because there's still four of the Offspring and they can take 80-year-old McCartney and Ringo right now.
Even as far as musical careers,
two guys
that never really wanted to fist fight in the first place. You know, they weren't.
You've never wanted to fist fight Ringo Starr?
Of course, I wanted to fist fight Ringo Starr. The problem is, he never wanted to fist fight me.
Never accepted the challenge.
I'm still waiting for him to answer my letter. So, but yeah, I don't know. Anything else to say about this chorus?
No, there's not much to it.
There's not much. This song doesn't have a whole lot of substance. It's a pretty like just like, this guy I know is dating a girl who's a gold digger and she needs to get a job. That's the story of the song.
And with that in mind, why don't?
But then he knows this other girl who's dating this guy.
Don't ruin the ending.
Oh shit! I'm sorry.
We'll get to that.
Adam, why don't you read the first verse? He's not ready.
I mean.
Or do you want me to?
You can just recite it from memory, probably.
My friend's got a girlfriend. Man, he hates that bitch. He tells me every day. He says, man, I really got to lose my chick in the worst kind of way. She sits on her ass. He works his hands to the bone to give her money every payday. But she wants more dinero just to stay at home. Well, my friend, you got to say.
So.
Et cetera.
Yeah. So there's the rudimentary. At best.
Well, what do we think about this guy?
This guy
with his gold digger girlfriend.
He's an idiot for staying with her.
He fails to mention anywhere in the song how hot the gold digger girlfriend is.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that...
I think Kanye
really,
did.
If this guy is sticking with this girl who's just stealing all of his money, like, there's probably a reason.
Right. Is this
and
a
I
better
feel like we all just assume to know what that reason is, and we're probably right.
But even if she's hot or good in bed or whatever the other reasons might be to keep her around, doesn't that still kind of make this guy an idiot?
Oh, he's an idiot. Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's
based on what limited information we have about this bitch. Offspring's words, not mine.
I'm saying good for her working the system.
Also, that's also fair.
Is this a better song than Kanye's Gold Digger?
No.
Objectively, no, not at all.
And I'm no
I agree.
Kanye fan, but that's an all right song.
If Jamie Foxx sang this chorus, it would be a tighter race.
I'm willing to bet right now at his home, at his palatial estate, Jamie Foxx is singing this song, just like in the shower or something.
I doubt it.
Hilariously, probably.
But I mean, to be fair to the writer of the song or to the speaker in the song, if it's not Dexter Holland but just some character he made up, he's giving his friend good advice.
Yeah.
He's a good friend. He gives good advice. When you come to him and say, like, hey, I got a girlfriend and all she does is sit on her ass and I give her money from my paycheck because I'm working myself to death. And you say, like, maybe you should, loser.
Stop doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good advice.
I would love to hear a response song from the girlfriend. It'd be like, how dare you say I sit at home and do nothing all day? I manage your house. I sit here and handle your bills.
I'm cleaning the house and I'm vacuuming.
There's like three kids that aren't even mentioned anywhere in the song that she's taking care of.
There's three kids I spend my day with.
Wow, whose kids are those?
Cleaning shitty diapers. And
yeah. Oh. I clean shitty diapers. I don't know. I can't keep.
First of all, you're ripping off the Beatles
and the Offspring. Now I'm doing a times two plagiarized.
Is there any
melody.
Chance you could rip off the tune to Yellow Submarine? When
no,
you do
I can't
your
think of how that goes off the top of my head.
There's too much Offspring floating around my brain right now.
So I can remember how this Offspring song goes, but like one of the most iconic Beatles songs of all time. Forget it.
You know what? It was your idea to start this podcast, and it's not my fault that there's all this crappy music clogging up my brain.
Do you have
I've been
Eleanor
listening to
Rigby
a good song for months.
How dare you yell
Adam?
At me? I clean up shitty diapers and for three kids running around. Like, there we go.
That was lovely.
Nailed it. Number one hit.
Ding.
Let's turn this podcast off. So, yeah. I don't know. Anything else to say about the verse?
No, I think we nailed it.
Well, all right. You want to know what's fun about this era of Offspringery? They cameoed as themselves in the movie Idle Hands.
I don't know what that is.
Do you
is.
Not remember this movie? I think it was
Adam?
Devin Sawa and Seth Green, where there was a possessed hand that somebody had.
I can't believe I missed a Seth Green movie.
Yeah, well. That's your fault.
There was an episode of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer where there was a possessed hand as well, and maybe Seth Green was in that.
He may have been. Yeah, Idle Hands. Was that Devin Sawa? Yeah, Green. Devin Sawa, Seth Green, Eldon Henson, who plays Foggy Nelson in Daredevil.
Oh, okay,
it was,
cool.
Fulton Reed.
Yeah, and Mighty Ducks.
Absolutely. Jessica Alba, Vivica A. Fox. They were all in it. I'll tell you what the IMDb premise is, if I can find it.
Yeah, just hang on, folks. We'll get back to music in a minute.
A 17-year-old slacker, Anton Tobias, wakes up one Halloween morning to discover that both of his parents have been turned into two headless Halloween decorations. After speaking to his equally irresponsible friends, Mick and Panub, he discovers that his right hand has a bloodthirsty mind of his own and is hell-bent on wreaking havoc whether he likes it or not.
And then he meets the Offspring, and they play themselves.
They played themselves playing at the high school dance. Which, who on earth had a high school dance with a band at it? Like, no school is shelling out the money for a band, let alone a huge band like the Offspring in 1999. But they ended up getting decapitated.
Well, that's kind of cool. What year was this movie?
That was 99, also, wasn't it?
So they got decapitated, but not in time to save them from making the shitty song.
They released the song and then were decapitated. So
that's
if only they
shame.
Had been decapitated like a year earlier before
that
the recording process that happened there. Should we move on to the next verse?
Well, there's a little more of the story.
Oh, I apologize.
Right after the chorus comes in, we do revisit this gentleman who's working his hands to the bone and his gold digger lady friend. And says, I guess all his money, well, it isn't enough to keep her bill collectors at bay. I guess all his money, well, it isn't enough because that girl's got expensive taste.
I'm just putting this together right now.
Yeah.
Do you think this song is in any way inspired by the Big Lebowski? Tara Reid stealing all that old dude's money?
Well, they came out the same year. No, this would have been after Big Lebowski, right? What year did the Big Lebowski come out? Katie, are you looking that up? Or?
I'll take care of that. You guys talk about the Big Lebowski.
I think was we finally inspired? Just blew through here.
Well, I'll tell you what. What Dexter Holland has said regarding Americana as a whole is that it was influenced an awful lot by, quote, talk show culture. And so,
not Jeff Bridges movies?
Not entirely. I think that
even though that movie did come out on March 6, 1998.
So, I mean,
But there's, the album also came out in 1998, even if this single.
Right. So they would have been recording this for a full year before that. I mean, who knows? This song sounds like it took about 15 minutes to write. So, yes, it could have been written in the 15 minutes after they watched The Big Lebowski.
I'm going to say this took
no evidence to the contrary.
2 minutes to write.
2 minutes to write. Another one took longer to perform than it does to write.
So, I don't remember what song that was. Wait,
took longer to
perform than it did to write. You're correct. I don't remember which song that was, though.
That's Adam, a joke that I make too much. What makes you
see a Big Lebowski connection here, though?
I'm generally always thinking about The Big Lebowski, so I might just
just constantly rolling around back there. The world does not stop and start at your convenience, you miserable piece of shit.
The bill collectors were coming after her. They had the whole thing with the toe and the nail polish. She had expensive taste.
We still want the money, Lebowski.
Yeah.
He said, so it's like talk show culture and that, like, you know, a lot of like Jerry Springer was so hot back then, you know, just like watching these people tell these stories like, oh, she's just using me for my money. She just sits at home and gets high and just lays around all day long. He said, quote, I admit I've got a morbid curiosity where I get drawn into these shows. And so I think it's more likely that just spending way too much time watching Jerry Springer and Maury Povich and Ricky Lake and
What was the other guy's name? Oh, I wasn't allowed to watch
Richard
his show.
Bay.
Richard Bay. I wasn't allowed
My
to watch
brother,
it.
I think, went to a live taping of that.
Mom, no. I'll admit now I used to watch that show.
He had a friend who went to a live taping of Richard. Richard Bay was like the trashiest of the trashy.
I loved the Mr. Puniverse competition.
And then Jerry Springer came and like had to step up his game.
Right.
You know, and like the first like couple years of Talk Soup, it was like all Richard Bay clips. Right. Just like garbage. Just absolute garbage.
And I think you can see a connection between that and this song. He was probably watching an episode of like Richard Bay or Jerry Springer where it was like, my girl ain't got no job. What do I do? And, you know.
Yeah.
Here we have this beautiful masterpiece.
This work of art.
Yeah.
Music is an art, and I think the Offspring have captured that sublimely.
This triumph in songwriting.
Absolutely.
By a band who had never done anything more meaningful than this.
No, and how could they? How could they top this? Adam, do you want to read the refrain for us here?
You don't want to talk about the lousy rhyme in the little stanza that I read?
What did you just read?
I think that's like the least of our worries. About, like
Bay and Taste? That is bad, but what else can you really say about that aside from it's bad?
So it continues the story, but the rhyme is not well constructed. And the song itself is so simple that I think a little detail like that is just a testament to the laziness of the song.
Really? Well, the laziness is all of the rhymes are the same. He tells me every day, in the worst kind of way, to give her money every payday. You gotta say, keep her bill collectors at bay.
It's not that the rhymes are the same, it's just the song is the same. Like, it's the same thing, just over...
Desmond and Marley in the marketplace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Case closed. Case closed.
I agree, Adam. It's very monotonous.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. She sits on her ass. Hands to the bone to give her money every payday, but she wants more dinero just to stay at home. Well, my friend, you gotta say. So speaking of, let's get into that. Bridge.
Second,
the surprise second story.
Yeah.
Well, first there's a bridge. There's a bridge we got to get through. We can't just skip over that. That's another A rhyme.
Oh, I forgot about the bridge.
Yeah. Well, what do you remember about the song, though?
Everything. This is so simple, even my tiny memory can handle it. Adam, do you want to read the bridge?
I'm a little bit lost with my lyrics. You can take it. I lost the link.
Okay. Right,
I'll just go ahead.
Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I guess it ain't easy doing nothing at all, but hey, man, free rides don't just come along every day. So there it sounds like he's defending... This gold digging bitch girlfriend of his friends.
Let's stop calling her a bitch. That's
I'm
not
just
nice.
Using it's evidence from the song, Katie.
She doesn't sound like she's not a bitch.
This we don't only, know. We don't
this
know
was
her
only
side
because
of the story.
We did the first verse.
You just double negatived that too. She doesn't sound like she's not a bitch.
Yeah, it's
which is accurate. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
I'm just saying we don't know her.
I've been dying to get into the second verse.
What the turnaround here at the end, the flip side, the gold digging boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah.
Which I feel like they probably got through the entire, like the song probably when it was first written was just that first verse.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone was just like, oh, this is going to sound like a really misogynistic song. How do we fix
that? So
you
have to have a shitty boyfriend too.
And they were like, well, there's no way to fix it without just getting rid of this entire song. And why would we throw away this masterpiece? So let's just now throw in a shitty boyfriend and we'll call him a dick. Like we called her a bitch.
But
and like, everything will just be.
One thing I love about
it's
it,
like
though,
yin yang kind of
is
thing.
Before he gets into it, there's like the little like spoken word part where it sounds like he's saying it through a bullhorn for some reason, because people did that in the late 90s a lot, where he goes, let me tell you about my other friend now. It's just like a quick spoken line. It sounds like, let me tell you about my other friend now.
I really like Adam's theory now. You know, I just think
like,
it's
just,
it makes perfect sense.
It was such a lazy, sloppy thing to throw together to begin with that they were like, oh, fuck, yeah, you're right. That's going to sound
we
bad.
Better make a terrible boyfriend.
We can't
as
just have a whole song about just like this girl who's a bitch. So let's just, we'll even it out at the end. And
right, because
be all right.
Our fans like Katie over here will be so pissed off.
Hey, Brad and Adam, stop calling her a bitch, even though I'm only saying what Dexter said
about
this gold digger.
Oh, don't worry. I will call this guy by his slanderous name as well.
This dick.
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
If we're not going to be nice, we have to be not nice to everyone.
But this goes
don't
back to...
Don't call this poor guy a dick. I mean, we don't even know him.
I'm sure he's got his own thing
going on. I don't
on.
Think this
he
is
He just
a,
fell on tough times. It's
I don't think this is a true story. I don't think this
I,
is a true story.
I was
story.
Just going to say, well, here's... We were saying before, like, oh, he's a good friend. He's giving his buddy good advice about the girlfriend. He's got one friend over here dealing with a shitty girlfriend.
Right.
And he's got another friend over here dealing with a shitty boyfriend. Why aren't we, like, getting these guys together, like, taking them out one night, getting them a little drunk and just seeing what
like,
happens?
Like, seriously,
right,
yeah,
fixing
absolutely.
Fixing both these problems. Instead, he's just, like, writing a song, making all this money off of it.
Read the
and
goddamn
people,
lyrics.
Yeah.
Tell this story. This is a story that needs to be told. Let me tell you about my other friend now.
Yeah, well, that's the only part of this song that's not a repeat of an earlier part of the song, is when the voice comes out of the background and says, let me tell you about my other friend now.
I feel like they just felt the need, like, Dexter, can you just real quickly
just
say
throw that, something in here so they don't
so
know
so that we
it's
know you're
repeat.
Not, yeah, talking about a different couple, please.
My friend's got a boyfriend, man, she hates that dick. She tells me every day, he wants more dinero to stay at home. Well, my friend, you gotta say... I won't pay, I won't pay. It goes into the chorus again.
And then there's a second chorus after that.
I won't give you no money, I always pay. Nah, nah. Why don't you get a job? Say no way, yah, no way.
No way,
nah,
yah.
Nah. Why don't you get a job? It's almost like he's trying to rip off the Beatles and maybe Bob Marley with the same shitty song. And neither one of those things is working.
Where's the Bob Marley rip-off?
And it's just like the nah kind of bullshit.
Okay.
Like it's and it has like a almost like an island kind of beat to it a little bit. But
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, it's got that like ska, and it's also got like
the
steel
horns.
Drums and the horns.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact, Katie, that he dedicated two stanzas to this bitch and only one stanza to this dick?
It's the patriarchy, man.
It is the patriarchy. That's my joke. You're stealing my joke again.
I did. See, I called your joke back. It was a callback to your joke.
Do you think she hates that dick because she is possibly a lesbian?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I think you're taking that word the wrong way.
Sorry. I was going straight literal.
I took it both literally and figuratively.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think it has
to do. Because you can't really
she might
hate
be,
one without the
she
other.
She also might
you
be
can't.
Like anti-sexual. I shouldn't just limit
just like
her
asexual,
to...
Just like asexual, maybe.
I don't think this has anything to do with her sexuality at all. I think it has to do with the fact that... she's working hard, and he's staying at home doing
nothing. Are we gonna talk about the music video eventually? Or
in a second.
Yes.
Because in the music video, like... The shitty girlfriend is just kind of like out at a restaurant with her friends and not being like particularly shitty. But like the shitty boyfriend is like
worst.
Pouring queso all over his shirt. Like total fucking like who
wearing
the fuck is doing
that? Wearing a wife beater.
Yeah,
wearing
I mean,
a wife
that's
beater. The uniform
watching TV.
He
while
at one point is like rubbing either
rubbing the
mustard
queso
or
into his wife
into
beater.
Her,
yeah.
Shirt. Yeah.
So
and
but
she's
Katie,
super hot.
Yeah,
and
she just
like,
wants to be a stripper.
No, I don't think that's true.
Nope. She got up on the TV and stripped, though.
Yeah.
No, she took off her house coat and hairnet to reveal that she's in, like, this sort of superhero-esque, almost, like, Wonder Woman-ish outfit.
I've seen strippers that wear that same...
No, and she does, like, a celebratory...
Me too, actually, if we're going to be honest.
No, and she does, like, a celebratory move, like, hell yes, I'm free.
Stripping can be empowering, and I feel that's like you're true, just saying feminism back right
I'm
now.
Not, I'm not criticizing strippers at all in any way. I'm just talking about what this specific woman in this specific music video is doing.
She wants to be a dancer like Elizabeth Berkley
and if
in
she
Showgirls.
Does, that's fine. If that's
which was
what
a
makes
great,
her
if we
want to
talk
feel,
about great movies.
You guys are terrible. You want to talk about the problem with the patriarchy? I can't finish my sentence with the two of you.
No, you won't finish your
sentence. I would love to finish my sentence.
Please.
Brad mentioned Showgirls, and I'm just zoomed out for the rest of this episode.
My bad.
I don't even... I do remember what I was going to say. You're the worst. I was going to say you're the worst, both of you.
You said that twice now.
Have tied for the worst. B, she's just like... shedding the kind of costume of her terrible situation with this boyfriend, like the clothes she's wearing
her
to...
Her bindings, Katie, her bindings.
The clothes she's wearing to kind of serve him, and then she's got this like Wonder Woman outfit on underneath, and she runs to join these other people who are having a bunch of fun. That's what I thought was going on in the video. That's all I wanted to say.
Why did it speaking take you so those, long to say?
Speaking of those other people.
FYBMW.
Speaking of those other people having a bunch of fun. Yeah. The rest of that music video makes no, like, what are they
doing?
Why
does he hang glide in?
And then they start having I guess that's like a parade of all the people not stuck in toxic relationships.
Maybe.
Just having a bunch of fun walking down Main Street.
Yeah. Playing horns.
Playing, yeah.
So this video was directed by Mick G, who also directed Korn's Got the Life. And then,
which was a much better video. Because it was perfect.
Similar colors, yikes, though. Similar outfits. Like, different
no,
tone
no
and
green
music. But similar
definitely
style
different tone
all the
music.
Time.
So Adam is saying that Mick G has directed the perfect video where they blow up the Ferrari or whatever.
I think it's the Corvette. Same year. I think they're both 99.
They were.
Yeah.
And then he did Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
He's got a thing going on.
He's
here.
Got a thing
yeah.
going on. Mick G. Killing it in the video department here.
Is he?
Mm.
Killing something.
Yeah.
That's true.
Something's now dead because
yeah.
of
yeah.
But another interesting thing about the video is like, so it's filmed just on some like studio lot in LA. And in the background, so there's like a, they're walking down like Wisteria Lane from Desperate Housewives, and in the background you can see like the clock from Back to the Future. So
oh,
it's just like
weird.
Yeah, so it's just like a studio lot back there. I don't know if that's like intentionally focused upon in the video, but like you can definitely see. I noticed the clock. I don't know what Wisteria Lane looks like, but
based
like,
on the quality of the song, I think it's more likely that just nobody cared.
Do you think they just ripped off Desperate Housewives,
sure.
like blatantly? So the back to the album Americana, another thing that Dexter Holland said, because evidently he's the only one in this band that does interviews. Everybody else, nobody cares about anybody else's opinion. He said they wanted to expose the darker side of their culture with the album Americana. So you have the kids Are All Right, which is basically about a bunch of people who like graduated high school and then just like wasted away.
Yeah.
Which I guess could, I mean, that maybe that's a...
That makes sense.
Dark, yeah.
That makes sense.
Wallow, yeah, I mean, there were some, I mean, not great songs. I mean, not, no, good
See,
songs, but they were just had a
Katie, did you own
darker,
this album?
More cynical... Walla Walla was like about a guy in prison, and
yeah.
She's Got Issues was about another...
Oh, I forgot about She's Got Issues.
I didn't own this album,
No,
though.
Neither did I. So, Adam, you're really the
I mean,
only
the,
one that
the
can,
overall,
like, speak to the...
The overall just, like, concept of Americana was, like, a very cynical...
Yeah, just in general. I mean, the other thing that he considered dark side was, you know, the pretty fly for a white guy. Like, our subject isn't cool, but he thinks it anyway. And I...
That song and this song, I don't really think work.
What did they say about the tattoo that he wanted to
get? He asked for a 13, but
he got
a
31.
31.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Okay, yeah.
I mean, you could look at them as satirical, but
he's
it's
trying
not
too
really
hard, but he's not quite hip.
Done well.
No, it's. I mean, it's because it's so novel.
Yeah,
you know that's the thing. Can I get back to the Beatles controversy here?
Oh, I just wanted to say one more thing. Ages ago when we were talking about the bridge and Adam was saying, like, why don't you just get this couple together? That would be the better advice. If you have two friends who are complaining about their relationships and that their partners, like, don't have good jobs and don't take care of business, they're like, well, I know a guy and I know a girl that
you guys would be
so
much
better. You're looking for, get together.
You both have equally low self-esteem. Like, let's make this work.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Totally.
Which was his other smash hit.
A great song. I loved that song.
That was a great song.
Do you think, like, Offspring has just been creating this giant, like, Stephen King-like universe with all of their works of art?
I think that's the only explanation.
Like, ties into this universe that they've created
here? The Offspring's Dark Tower series.
Basically that. Their Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And this song is about as good as the movie, TV series,
I don't
Dark
about
Tower,
several
I guess.
Stephen
Let's
King
talk
movies.
About
There's
it.
So many terrible Stephen King movies out there. But back to the Beatles controversy here. So evidently, when asked about this, this is back to that MTV news article that I was reading. Offspring's management offered no comment and said later on, like, other than speculation. So they. That's weird. It said in the article they offered no comment, and then they immediately followed it up with a quote from their management. So that's weird.
Okay.
Other than speculation, no one's made a claim on this matter. So legally, there was no claim made. But here's the interesting thing is that evidently Paul McCartney ripped this off of somebody else.
Oh, really?
Tune. Yeah. Now I'm all stuffed up. I don't know what happened. But there was a book that came out years and years ago called The Beatles Forever and written by Nicholas Schaffner. And he says in it that John Lennon made no bones about despising Paul's popular Jamaican-influenced Obla-Di-Obla-Da, a song that also alienated the West Indian nightclub singer who had dreamed up the title for his own act. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So isn't that interesting that evidently Paul McCartney ripped this off of somebody else before The Offspring ripped it off of Paul McCartney.
Was that before or after the whole Paul McCartney's dead controversy?
Well, it was the White Album. I don't know when that came out in relation to Abbey Road.
I think that was after Abbey Road, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Wasn't it like Revolver, Abbey Road, and White Album?
Revolver was early on.
Revolver was like the whole turning the tide for the Beatles.
Yeah, I mean, Revolver is frequently cited as one of like the most influential albums of all time because, like, it was when the Beatles started kind of experimenting, getting away from just, like, the pop music, you know? Yeah.
The White Album was actually before Abbey Road.
It was before Abbey Road. So it was before Paul died. So.
I guess so.
And so, therefore, the Offspring could definitely kick their ass if Paul McCartney is actually dead.
If you're only counting the real Paul McCartney who died in, like, 1968. Then
yeah.
Well, and then also in light of this new information, who cares if the Offspring stole the song?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, Paul McCartney stole the song.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, you know, it could have been something that was in public domain also.
Sure.
You know, like, a lot of times you'll see, like Zeppelin often gets harangued for, like, ripping off other artists. But a lot of the stuff that they've been ripping off is, like, folk songs that are in the public domain.
Sure.
You can rip that off as much as you want. That's all free use.
Right.
Use whatever you want. We're violating more things by playing these songs on our podcast.
Shh, Brad, don't tell anyone that.
I didn't mean that, lawyers. So.
And doesn't Michael Jackson own all the Beatles music?
He bought their catalog.
Before,
I don't know.
After
I don't
1998.
Know.
See, now we're getting into a whole other.
Oh, that was
worms
back
now.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
When
so
Michael
really,
Jackson...
it wouldn't even be an issue with Paul McCartney. It's whether or not Michael Jackson wants to sue the Offspring for stealing from the Beatles.
He's not suing anybody
who
anymore.
Who stole? Well, yeah.
I don't know who the rights belong to now. Now that Michael Jackson's dead, but
I think Paul McCartney just settled with Sony this year.
Oh,
I kind of remember that being in the news. But I'd have to do a lot of reading to find out whether or not that's actually a done deal. But
okay.
In 2017, Paul McCartney was coming to a settlement to get his songs back. A quick Google reflects that that either has happened already, you know, as of this summer, he has the rights back, or it's like very close to happening. But I'd have to read to find the full answer, and I don't have time to do that right now.
Well, all right. Well, so that settles nothing. can I give you some fun facts about Dexter Holland?
Please do.
He owns his own brand of hot sauce called Gringo Bandito. And you should see it because the bottle makes him look like Dexter Holland as Pancho Villa. He's got like the, what are the bullet holsters called? The bandoliers? Is that what they're called?
I think I'm good with that. Yeah, let's call that.
And like a big sombrero. So that's fun. He's like also
a real bad hombre.
Oh, yeah. Like a bad ixnay on the hombre.
That was nicely done.
I said hombre in the way that like no Spanish person would ever say.
And
that.
You speak Spanish.
And I speak Spanish. It's hombre. Ixnay on the hombre. He's also a licensed pilot and in 2006 completed a solo trip around the world in 10 days. That's pretty.
That's crazy.
Pretty balls out right there.
Yeah.
And now here's my favorite factoid about him. Is that he received his PhD in molecular biology in May 2017.
Wow.
So that is Dr. Dexter Holland.
Wasn't he also in law school at one point, though? Like
he was in medical school.
Medical school in the 90s. And then kind of gave that up to do the Offspring thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But now he has his PhD.
And in 1995, he said in an article that when he's 40, he would rather be in a professor in a university than playing music.
It took him about an extra 15 years, I guess.
So, well, he's not a professor, though. He's not teaching in a university.
Maybe he's on his way. We don't know.
Maybe. Maybe someday you can have Dr. Professor Dexter Holland.
You wouldn't be Dr. Professor.
I'm not a teacher. I don't know these things.
So, you'd be doctor with the
molecular biology. Like he was studying like he did like RNA.
His thesis or something was on like RNA and HIV.
I read the title of his thesis paper and it was so like long and convoluted. I didn't even understand what the title meant. It was crazy, but it was about like macro RNA.
I just can't believe that the man who's in this music video at age, what did we determine? 34.
With his bleach spiked hair.
Yep.
Chain wallet and his bleach spiked hair has a PhD in molecular biology. Like, then he should have known he was too much of a grown man to be in that outfit.
He should have written better lyrics. If he's that smart, he should know more words.
Right.
Like, plain and simple.
The vocabulary that he must possess isn't represented in the lyrics of this song.
No, not at all.
I did find out the answer to our question. Paul McCartney did win back the rights in a settlement at the end of June, beginning of July this year.
Gotcha. So not too long ago.
Yeah, just over the summer.
Paul. Good on you. Get that money.
Congrats, Paul.
Sir Paul. So, Katie, narrative poem, what does it get?
I don't know. This is lousy. What assignment would this even go along with?
Toxic Relationships 101.
Would you publish this in your school's literary magazine?
No, I'm not in charge of the literary magazine, and the students really decide which pieces go in.
Do you think they would?
I don't think they would. I think a lot of the works that we have in our literary magazine have a greater depth than this.
All right. Adam. Windows down, radio up while you're driving across the country?
Windows down, radio's up. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Who are you ripping off there?
Who sings that?
The Beatles. Is that a Beatles song?
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, Adam.
You blast this song?
What was the question?
Would you blast this song with the windows down and the radio up?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah? I think I would, too. I would definitely, like, drunkenly pretend to love this song.
I don't know.
I hope you're not driving then.
If windows down, radio up, that situation, I probably leave it on halfway through like the first verse. And then by like, I don't know how many times I'm listening to him loop this thing before I'm hitting skip.
You know what the thing is? Like this song is an exercise in stamina for me. I would put it on like four times in a row and just see who breaks first. That's really
because when it would come on, if I had my iPod on shuffle and this song came up and it's on my iPod because I have this album on the iPod, I would take it for a second and I would laugh and be like, oh my God, what a shitty song. Oh, The Offspring. I'll listen to this. And then I would definitely skip it before.
I just created a new game. I would love it if you would play.
I'll play. I'm all about the mind games.
If you have it on your phone, turn it on like softly at first and just see how many times you can get away with repeating it before whoever you're driving with. It's like, how many times are we going to hear this goddamn song? Like, each time just turn it a little bit louder.
One of my best friends actually used to, anytime a bar had one of those like touch tunes jukeboxes, would put like $5 in and just play all the versions of Freebird.
This is horrible.
All goddamn night until the bar would unplug the jukebox.
Need a funnier song than that.
But it's so long that you don't realize it's been on for 45 minutes. Oh, that's gross. You're just like, oh, I guess this is...
That is gross. Is this the same type of asshole that yells at every single band, play Freebird?
No.
No? Okay, good.
He's a subtler kind of gentleman. A subtler
kind of asshole.
I have to say, I would not leave this song on. I would turn it off if it came on the radio. This and Pretty Fly for a White Guy. I can't stand them. I just find them so annoying. Yeah. And they're a big disappointment to me because actually, back in the day when I was a young lady, I was a big Offspring fan.
Well, you failed. You failed, Katie, Offspring.
And I hope you're happy.
I think they're doing just fine.
Yeah. Well, I expect...
Dr. Dexter Holland. Which sounds like a soap opera name. It's like, that's his Drake Ramore.
It is.
So, Adam, could you do us a favor and just recap one more time the event that's happening in Jersey City at the end of the month?
September 23rd at 11 a.m., Cathedral Hall, Montgomery Street in Jersey City is the second annual North Jersey Indie Rock Festival. Brought to you by Sniffling Indie Kids and Mint 400 are the two labels that are hosting. NJ Racket and Jonathan Levine Projects are the two sponsors. And we'll also have bands from Bar None, Little Dickman Records, and Killing Horse Records.
And it goes all night long.
All goddamn day.
It sounds day into awesome. The night.
It does sound like a lot of fun. So if you guys are in the area, want to check out some local bands, enjoy some food and some drink, get yourselves out to Jersey City September 24th.
Third.
Don't go on the 24th. That would be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. September 23rd, 11 a.m., Cathedral Hall, Montgomery Street, Jersey City. I got it down, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
none of the bands will be covering this song
yet.
Whew, thank goodness.
I'd almost guarantee that every song played will be better than this one.
Nice.
That is a guarantee.
Guarantee it.
Straight from
Adam's mouth to your ears.
If you go to the festival and you hear a song that you like less, then why don't you get a job? You come find me, and I'll buy you a beer.
Or at least find him on Facebook and
don't commit to that because people will just lie to you. Yeah.
You have permission to troll NJ Racket.
Yeah, right. There we go. So, all right, and with that, I guess we will wrap things up. Again, this has been Decomposition Podcast. If you guys are looking to find us on the social media, we are at Twitter at @decomp_pod. We are on Facebook at Decomposition Podcast. We are on Instagram, Decomposition Podcast. Or if you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, anything like that, please reach out to us. Our email address is decompositionpod@gmail.com. Be sure to get on iTunes, write us some reviews. Thank you guys who have done so already. I'm going to start reading those out loud. And in the meantime, you guys just chill till the next episode.